The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's a Wednesday. It's a wet Wednesday. It's a bit, you know, dank. Is it wet where you are, Nicola? You know
wet
what I'm saying?
And windy.
I see. What about outside? Okay. Listen. I sometimes you get all going on Twitter and you end up going down these tunnels and watching stuff and
rabbit.
You get immersed. You know,
a
I
often, rabbit hole.
Yeah, rabbit hole of intrigue. And I was just watching a lady, from Wales, but she was talking. She was doing a video on microdosing on LSD, and I've heard of it before. And it's like LSD is, you know, will trip you out if you take sort of around about apparently 200 milligrams. But if you take, some people on a daily basis now are microdosing as 5, 10, 20 milligrams, and there it is good for your mood.
And Justin said it's good for depression, and he thought I should get some. And I said, I'll just pop out and buy some because I know exactly where I can get LSD, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, obviously, where you get that from, but I'm not condoning that anyway. But I'm going to read a part on it. It's quite interesting. But then I tweeted out something. I tweeted out a smiley face spinning round to come and join us on Facebook Live, and you said, that's very trippy, and I didn't realise that had subconsciously wormed its way into my head, that trippy smiley character. And Mr. Acid, really, yes. Acid! Do you remember Acid in the 80s? Was it 80s or 90s?
Take a breath now, Justin.
Do you remember Acid in the...
I didn't do Acid then, but I do remember, you know, reading... I was in the military. I was an air traffic controller. I was subject to random blood testing. If I went to a party and people were smoking pot, I would leave in case I accidentally inhaled some and failed a blood test.
Okay.
No, I wasn't doing the Acid.
I wasn't saying I was doing it. I just remember it was crazy.
But I do remember it, yeah. And I had friends who did it.
Yeah.
I wasn't completely boring, but, you know.
Okay, well, let's start with the charts anyway. First and foremost, we're talking about Cora Gold. This is C-O-R-A. There are some decent results here. It's a small cap. I've had the guy on the podcast, Jonathan Forster, Dr. Jonathan Forster. It's a good name, that, isn't it? But he's been on the podcast a couple of times. Nice, really nice guy. And on the podcast again soon. But yeah, worth putting in your watch list, I think. But at the moment, there's not a lot of interest in the stock, and this is very good because it's sub 10 million. It's below, you know, people's radars, but check it out because they're coming up with some decent grades when they're drilling for gold in Mali, which, you know, of all African countries, is very friendly to mining. It's a good jurisdiction. So CORA, what do you reckon, Nicolas?
CORA. Yeah, isn't this a very interesting chart? You know, I know I say this very often, but when a stock launches and its open price, which is way back in, obviously, October 2017, because it's not that old, that price is 16. And so that's very often resistance. And what this stock has done twice in March and then now most recently yesterday is try and rally and banged its head up towards 16. The high in March was 15.9 and the high yesterday was 16 even. And so that becomes quite an important resistance level. Half, 50% of the drop that we made in February is 15.3. So I think if we see a close above 15.3 or we trade above 16.1, that we have made a bottom and we're no longer sort of trading in the bottom half of the chart. And then we've got a really nice double bottom. We can project that we're going to return to 19 and the highs and most likely new highs in this stock. So daily close above 15.3 or trade above 16.1 would do it for me.
Someone likened me to Sydney James. Sydney James from Carry On yesterday because of my innuendo. And I can't help it. You are very easy keeping a straight face. When you talk about double bottoms, all I imagine is a larger lady in leggings, black leggings with a double bum, you know, really big bum. Almost.
Sometimes we have Adam and Eve bottoms, don't we? That's when we have a spike low and the market comes back and does those really nice rounded retests.
Okay.
So the fat ass bottom is Adam.
Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Come on now.
You know what I mean.
Okay. Next stock, it's a big day today for EVR Holdings. EVRH, of course, they have for, I think, a couple of years, maybe more over that. But they've been building up a catalogue of virtual reality video and concerts and all that stuff they've been filming. And now they're launching the app, the Melody VR app, and they're hooking up with, I mean, I think it's when you buy Oculus, you know, Oculus is Facebook bought Oculus.
Yes, I do.
Well, they're launching a $200 model. Before, their previous model was like megabucks, and it had to be attached to a high-end computer to generate the... But now, this is a standalone Oculus product, and in that product, apparently, in the all launch of that, is Melody VR. So it's a company from the UK, you know, in quite tight-knit with the Facebook guys, which is a very good sign. But now they've launched their product today, and oddly, the share price has come back, you know, and you see this a lot with companies, and when they're talking about something that's going to happen, you know, it's all that thing, that old cliches people say, buy on rumour, sell on fact, and now they're going to be revenue generating. So, you know, when you get, and I often talk about it, the time to get into companies is when they're pre-revenue, because that's when the basic share price is based on hype, hope and potential. And that's very powerful. Hype, hope, potential is very powerful. When you become a revenue-generating company, then it's hard to live up to that sometimes, and especially with tech stocks, you know, and you come back a bit, and then it takes a while. And we're looking at a chart called the hype cycle, and it goes up crazy at start, you know, stratospheric rise, and comes back to reality a bit when revenue starts to kick in. So, and I often say the potential of revenue is often greater than revenue generation itself. So the potential, so you know, when people are looking forward to generating revenue on AIM stock, people love that, and the share price rises. Then when they have to generate that revenue, it comes back a bit. But anyway, what do you reckon, Nicola, on this chart of EVR Holdings or EVRH?
Well, as long as I've been covering this, I've had two upside targets for this stock. One was 19.46 and the other one was 27.5. And today the high was 19.5. So we've tagged that first major target and we've reacted quite strongly off it. So I think that what's going to happen is we're going to pull back now and retest those prior highs around 14. And I think that that should be a gift of a buy and we should then continue higher to 27.5. I completely agree with your fundamentals. I think very often, you know, it's very hard for us to know when stuff is priced in, but this looks like really good news priced in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The other thing that I would note, you know, when you get to a resistance level or a level that you're looking for, you very often don't know if you're going to react there or if you're going to keep going through it. And in this chart, on the daily chart, you can see I'm using an RSI and we've got bearish divergence. That means that the high we have on the RSI, we haven't made a new high above the February high or the March highs. So the price has been making higher highs, but the oscillator has not. And when you see that, that's usually a warning that the uptrend is running out of steam and we need a bit of a pullback to get the buyers excited before we go up again. So look for a pullback to around towards 14 to get long.
I still hold the stock. I de-risked on the way up, but I did buy this lucky buy just under a smidge under one penny. So this is a 16 bagger for me, you know. So, but I have
fantastic! Congratulations.
So I have de-risked on the way up, but now I think comes the hard work for EVRH, and that's a. But I mean, they are, you know, like generating revenue, but they are hooked up with the right guys. You know, they're hooked up with the Facebook guys. You know, it doesn't get much bigger than that, and they've got they've got licensed in deals with everyone, all the major record labels, so they can actually film concerts, and they said today they're going to offer virtual tickets via VR experience. You know, you can see, so you can watch a concert of the biggest artists via VR headsets. And but it's just the adoption of that. How fast will that be? Will people adopt that? You never know. But I suppose if you're a big fan of an artist and you want to see them, say, let's say, for example, Eminem decides to start doing some live gigs again, you can't get tickets or you're a different part of the world, you can do it, watch him in VR. And it's on stage pretty much, you know? So that's quite impressive. Anyway, we'll see what happens there, how it plays out.
Do you think eventually all of our TV will be like that? So instead of watching it on a flat screen, we'll be able to just pop a headset on and feel like we're right there in it.
I think the headsets will get smaller. I think generally, hopefully, they'll come down to almost like glasses, you know, and that'll be...
Yeah.
I think those big chunky things you put in your head, maybe that's the detractor. But anyway, okay, next one. Savanna Resources announced a good resource upgrade today, or they announced a resource quite big. In fact, I don't know, it's lithium, but it's in Portugal, so it's in Europe. But what do you reckon on Savanna Resources, or Savanna Resources, I should say?
Savanna Resources, since the start of this year, has been sideways trading in a bullish flag pattern, sideways around flat moving averages, so we're looking for a breakout of the range. Trading above 6.6 would be a breakout for Savanna Resources. Resistance at 7.5, that's the highs from November last year, that's the 2017 highs, but I think it's just resistance, and we should keep going to 9.28 and 12.16.
Okay. They announced a 52% resource upgrade for their Mina de Barroso lithium project in Portugal.
Ooh.
For Portugal, right? Okay, next one is Vast Resources. Done a lot of deals.
You're a big lithium fan, aren't you?
I'm not a lithium fan of the actual element itself. I don't champion, you know, say, oh, I love lithium as an element.
okay.
of the chemical table, it's one of my favourites. But I just think, you know, you can't ignore lithium. In, you know, with EV, every government in the world pretty much is denouncing petrol and diesel, and they hope to be, fuel clean by 2030, 2040, whatever. So it's going to be a huge amount of demand on it. So will supply keep up with that? If it doesn't, you will see, I mean, lithium prices have gone up, but lithium will go through the roof if it doesn't. Okay, next one is Vast Resources. Done a lot of deals of late, especially in Zimbabwe, which they've done a gold thing and something else there. And there's lots of other things going on. And the new guy, Andrew Pradier, CEO, is on the podcast later. I quite like this guy. He's getting things done. And I don't hold any Vast, but I mean, I like Andrew. He's a nice guy. VAST, what do you think?
I'm starting on the weekly chart so people will see that back in 2015 when this stock first launched, we went sideways for 5 months from January to May at this around this level, band 0.6, between kind of 0.7 and 0.65 and 0.75. And here we are now, that was the lows back in 2015, and here we are in our rally being stuck underneath these lows on a weekly. We rallied up and tested this level in February last year. We rallied up and tested it in October, and since then we've gone sideways in sort of wedge consolidation. I am looking for this to break to the upside and push higher to around 9.3 next, but we might need to tag the 200-day. We haven't touched the 200-day since we made the rally in October. It's just below us at the moment, around 0.5. We're at 0.578. So I think if this wedge has a little dip back to the bottom rail, then potentially 0.518, I'd be a buyer and look for a rally to 0.93 next in Vast.
Okay, Weatherly International, WTI. I know there's got a bit of in this, but it took a hammer and then it's bounced back up today or something. I don't know what's going on. I don't really know what's going on. I know they've got problems with debt and stuff, but they are a producer of, is it copper, I think? I have no idea, but look at that downtrend there. It's crazy. But then it's...
Go
on.
It's
jumped up to the gap, hasn't it, today, really? And pretty much that's it, top to the bottom of the gap. See that? Yeah.
Let's start with top-down analysis, and we'll start with a monthly chart.
Ooh, gets you top-down. Don't take your top-down, Nicola. Is that what you're doing, taking your top-down just to do analysis?
If I took my top-down, there'd be an eclipse.
I'm gonna. You do top-down analysis. I'll do bottom-down analysis. I'll take my trousers off. Go on, then.
Okay. So if we look at this monthly chart, we can see that we made a really serious bottom in 2015, December 2015, and that's the level we're retesting. That price is 0.196. So 0.196, pretty good support there. But if we zoom all the way out, what happens if we lose 0.196 is what I'm asking. And so if we zoom all the way out, we can see that back in 2003, when this stock first launched, our actual low is at 0.0020. So we don't want to go there. We really want to hold on to this low because that's where the next support is. So far, so good at this level. The price action is pretty good. You know, we are having a serious attempt at rallying higher from here. We've got the gap. That's the resistance. I see, because we're so oversold on the RSI, you know, even with this rally back to the high of the gap, we're only at 33 on the RSI and after being all the way down at 18. So I think that we're going to continue to push through higher. So Bottom of the gap is resistance 0.44. Top of the gap is resistance at 0.555. But my target is the 200-day moving average and the big round number one.
Big round number one.
Yeah, you know, these AIM stocks, they really do like those round number ones. And if you go back in this chart, you can see that that level was very popular before. That was the resistance when we rallied in 2016 in November. It was resistance when we rallied in 2017. I think it's a bit of a magnet level for this stock. And so that's where we'll bounce to.
Okay. I had a request for Way Education. Ticket is Way. Of course, they're based in Newcastle. Way, man. They're not really. But do you know what's annoying about this, Nicola? I bought these, right, when I was sort of just getting into small caps. I bought these. I like them. They're online, pretty much educational, you know, portal and service. And I thought, that's going to be big, surely. This day and age, with more kids now being schooled at home, that's going to be massive. So I bought them, right? They had an update, and they dropped like about 15, 20%. And I just got out of them. And I just thought, I don't like that at all. And literally, about 6 months later, they went berserk. They went from about 4 pence, I bought them at 4 or 5 pence, something like that. They went from 4 pence up, I'm looking now, it would have been a 10 bagger pretty much, up to
4 pence to 44 pence.
To 44 pence, yeah. And I thought, I sat there, it's one of the things that you sit and you just leave it. And I thought, oh. So my instinct on that was right. Well, saying that, you know, I bought other shares that haven't been right. But I mean, it's one of those ones that got away, you know, and I thought, oh, I'll just leave it. It went nuts. But what's the market cap on this now? I haven't checked the fundamentals of late, but 33 million. Okay. So Way, what do you reckon on the chart, Nicola?
I think Way looks good. The entire rally of 2017 was impulsive for me. That means five waves. I think it looks brilliant. But we did make this head and shoulders pattern. And that was a good warning that it was all over when we dropped back below. Now we're going sideways. And how do I know we're going sideways? Because our daily moving averages are all completely flat and they're all jumbled up together in the same place. And so I think that we're going to rally a bit higher from here. We're testing the 200-day moving average today. We've been just above it at 27. I think we should rally from here to about 28.6, get solidly above these moving averages, and then I'd like to see a pullback to retest them, no lower than 24. So up to 28, back to 24, a pullback, find our feet, make a higher low, and that higher low will confirm that the trend has bottomed. So if I draw it, it'll look something like this. We should go up here, retest, and then carry on higher. And so potentially between this 28 level and 24, we should make an inverted head and shoulders pattern and then carry on higher.
Right, who's on the phone there? Who is it?
I'm not going to talk to them, Justin. I'm all yours.
Phone a friend, I say. Well, that's our top-down analysis done. We can get dressed now. Brilliant stuff. lovely. And by the way, if you want to see this video on the video there, the video, if you listen to the podcast, of course, you can see the video at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Lovely. Listen, Nasir, we'll do that tomorrow. Nicola, I'll Skype it to you.
What stock did we forget?
Nasir said, no, can we discuss DFX sometime? I think he's asking for a date. He wants to chat around a meal or something. Can we discuss DFX sometime, please, Nick?
DFX?
Yeah. Okay. Not DFS, the sofa, DFX.
We'll try and remember.
It's a mobile security company. Okay.
Okay.
Nasir, we'll do that.
I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. And so we can do it.
Yeah. Did you see Apple and make the amount of money Apple make? It's phenomenal, isn't it? They've upped their dividends.
I love it. So many people were shorting Apple.
Were they?
That was so good.
Essentially, but they made $13 billion in 3 months. That's profit. They shipped over 50 million iPhones in 3 months. I know they got a factory in China. But I just imagine a load of Chinese ladies and lads, they're going crazy, just packing them like crazy. 52 million in 3 months. How do you pack that many phones? That's nuts, isn't it? 52 million phones, iPhones. It's crazy.
Look at this. Look, I've got the Apple chart up here. Look at this, Apple. We've made a textbook ABC correction, two equal measured moves from those March highs. And here we are recovered after those earnings. We've recovered the 200-day moving average. I think that we rally to new highs from here. I don't see anything to stop it.
Well, listen, they're going to, because it's a cracking profit. It's up by 25%. Plus, they've upped the dividend. Plus, they're doing a buyback of Apple shares, $100 billion worth.
Now, why are they honestly. Like, why don't they pay dividends?
They are doing
like,
that.
Like, seriously.
But what they're doing by that, dividends are giving, they're giving, obviously, income to people, to up the income, plus, by buying up shares, that'll help cut down the supply, so they also hopefully give capital upside. So they're giving capital upside and income upside to Apple shareholders. So it's, you know, it's a big thing. Warren Buffett likes that. He likes companies, right, that realise rather than invest outside their circle of comfort, he likes companies that will buy back their own shares, if they understand that too much.
Definitely, yeah,
so he's a big
definitely.
Fan. He looks for companies doing that. Anyway, cool. Martin Boo says, this guy does not stop screaming. If I put down the volume, I didn't understand Nick. If I pull up, this guy destroys my speakers. Sorry, Martin. Yeah, I'm generous.
Thank
quite.
Martin, we'll try and balance it better.
I'm quite passionate about the stocks and shares, but there we go. I do apologise. Lovely. Thanks for that, Nick, and I'll speak tomorrow. Okay.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.